Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. Really appreciate your time. I think you're going to enjoy this. In fact, I know you're going to enjoy it because we've got Steve Hilton, gubernatorial candidate in the great state of California. Boy, talk about a place that needs to change. Steve Hilton used to be at Fox News. That's where I got to know Steve when he had his show. And we're going to have a good discussion with Steve, what he believes needs to happen in California because, oh, my goodness, it is a mess. And if you want different results, you're going to have to elect different people. That's all there is to it. And so we're going to talk to Steve, but I got to bring on the stupid because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right. This is Paul Bloom, Fox 9. That's the X handle. It was forwarded to me by a friend and somebody I work with, Mike Howell. And here, I just want to read this to you. Again, Fox 9, give them credit for this. And there was a federal court moment. Okay? Here's what it says. Department of Justice Attorney Julie Lee, I think that's how you pronounce it, just L-E, however you pronounce L-E. Quote, the system sucks, the job sucks, to Judge Jerry Blackwell, who pressed her on why so many court orders are being ignored by ICE Trump administration. She has to be held in contempt just so she could get 24 hours of sleep. I'm not giving credence as to whether or not ICE or anybody else is ignoring their orders, but the idea that she just needed sleep, so she wanted to be held in contempt so she could go to jail to get a good night's rest. It is kind of funny. it's going to be an insubordinate, but it was just this moment of truth that I thought, all right, that's kind of funny. All right, this one, oh my goodness. The good people at New York Post, I don't know where they come up with this. This is published this past week. Hospital evacuated after 8-inch World War I artillery shell discovered in... I can't even complete reading the headline. It was lodged in a patient's backside. Let's just say that. A World War II artillery shell. The hospital had to be evacuated. I'm just going to leave it at that. That is pretty stupid. I don't understand. I don't even begin to understand. Let's just move along to this next one involving IKEA. This comes to us from Dexerto.com. IKEA releases giant hot dog that makes Costco's look small. Now, I love a Costco hot dog. It's one of the best deals out there. $1.50, get a soda. Get a hot dog, put some mustard on it. I'm a happy guy. Just stand there with my cart as they go out of Costco. How many times have I done that? Not bad for $1.50. But the Swedish retailer is now coming up with a half-meter hot dog. It's nearly 20 inches long, and it kind of makes Costco's look a little small. I don't know that there necessarily has to be a race for biggest hot dog, but IKEA trying to get in the game. Aye, aye, aye. All right, now we're going to wrap it up here. Winter Olympics, they're kicking off, right? They're U.S. officials, this comes to us from the New York Times, U.S. Olympic officials change name of space for athletes from Ice House to Winter House. Oh, come on. That's pretty stupid. It was going to be the Ice House, and they get so triggered by the name Ice that they can't do it. They have to change it to Winter House. Come on, folks. I do think I saw somebody, I don't know who came up with this, but it was a good one. They wanted to change the name of Immigration Customs Enforcement to National Immigration Customs Enforcement so that everybody in the news and everybody else would have to refer to it as NICE. I'm opposed to NICE. I don't like what NICE is doing. How dare NICE be out there enforcing the law? I don't like NICE. I thought that was pretty funny. Oh, come on, folks. Get a grip. It's called Ice House. You can be smart enough to understand the difference between the two. All right, that's the stupid. Now it's time to bring on Steve Hilton. Because Steve is a friend, but he's also a candidate now for governor of California.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. After my husband died, the last thing I wanted to think about was money. Ethos made it affordable to get life insurance. Signing up was fast and 100% online. I knew that I could pay our mortgage and have food in the fridge. I could focus on my kids. No one ever tells you how much you're going to depend on that policy. I am so grateful we had coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm Dr. Howard Levine, director of Cleveland Nasal Sinus and Sleep Center. During cold and flu season, I tell my patients the key to staying well is to pull out germs, mucus, bacteria, and viruses from the nose using the Navage powered nasal irrigator. I irrigate my own nose daily with Navage to stay healthy and after seeing sick patients.
For drug-free congestion relief, trust number one doctor-recommended Navage. Available at CVS and Target.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. You know, the big wireless companies say they have discounts for people over 55. But unless you're willing to sit on hold and ask, you're probably paying more than you should. At Consumer Cellular, there's nothing to hunt down. We're built for people 50 plus with plans starting at just $20. And our 100% U.S.-based customer service actually answers the phone. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today and get your second month free for a limited time.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The gum-chewing, rope-twirler, Oklahoma social commentator Will Rogers was a friend of presidents, heads of state, and politicians. He was often quoted in the Congressional Record, as he was in this recording from 1925.
And I received a wire this week from a congressman friend of mine who wants a copy of my plan to read in the Congressional Record. And I feel pretty good about that. That's the highest praise that a humorist can have, is to get your stuff into Congressional Record. You see, ordinarily, you got to work your way up as a humorist and first get into Congress, and then you work on up into the Senate, and then if your stuff is funny enough, it goes into the Congressional Record. But for an outsider to get in there as a humorist without having served his apprenticeship in either the House or the Senate, well, I'm not bragging, but by golly, I feel pretty big about it.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A man on Long Island, New York is accused of lying in wait at his estranged wife's home before killing her with a lethal cyanide mix that seared her lungs. Prosecutors in Nassau County, New York say 53-year-old Asif Qureshi busted into his former home after his estranged wife, Alina, left to drop the couple's kids off at school on October 17th. When she returned, they say he jumped from the shadows and suffocated her by putting a rag soaked in cyanide to her mouth, searing her lungs as she took her last breaths. The prosecutors then says Qureshi left her body out for the children to discover. The couple's 17-year-old daughter received a phone call that afternoon telling her her mother never picked up her little sister from school, sending cops to the family home. Police tied Qureshi to the scene thanks to surveillance video, and he was arrested October 23rd. Last week, he pleaded not guilty to the murder. He'll be back in court February 18th. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Delosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Fox on Tech.
Parents can now set a short time for short videos. There are changes at YouTube aimed at giving parents a better handle over what their kids watch, and that includes setting time limits for things like YouTube Shorts, the short-running and auto-scrolling videos that compete with TikToks.
Well, we talked to parents, and we heard, you know, three things. Parents want more control, they want the high-quality content, and they want the sign-up process to be easier. And so that's what we really did.
Dr. Garth Graham is head of YouTube's Global Health. YouTube only grants accounts to the regular service to people 13 years old or older. Under 13 gets a YouTube Kids account. The changes now coming will make it simpler for parents to set up a supervised teen account in which they can better program restrictions on what their teens can watch. As for YouTube Shorts, parents can limit the time to zero to stop all the scrolling. With Fox on Tech, I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Steve, Hilton, thanks so much for joining us.
How about that? Now, after all those years when you were a guest on my show, and one of our audience favorites, now here I am joining you. It's a great honor.
I'm proud of what you've done. Look, I always had fun because you have so much energy and enthusiasm. It's contagious. I loved coming down and being on the show, but now, you know, I've been watching from afar, and here you are. You woke up one day and decided to run for governor of California. What was that decision like? I want to get into your background and all that, but yeah. What happened one day when you woke up and said, you know what, honey, I think I'm going to do this?
Well, it was a bit of a process, but it does relate to the background, actually, because although people know me from the show where you and I were there for so many years doing that on Sunday nights, The Next Revolution, actually most of my career has been in either business or working inside government, directly, not just commenting on it. And so, just like yourself, you know, and so I went from that world into the media. And as the years went on, I guess I got of hosting The Next Revolution and being a commentator, and which was fantastic, what an incredible opportunity that I absolutely loved. However, I did have this hankering to get back into doing things, and I didn't initially think I'm going to run for governor. It was just, well, you know, I really enjoy policy. I've worked on policy and policy issues many years back in the day in the UK, written books about policy, and so I wanted to get back into that. I started thinking about the first big issue I started thinking about here in California was actually our housing crisis, and it really broke my heart to see how many young people are just leaving the state and giving up on that we used to provide, you know, the opportunities we used to provide here in California better than anywhere else in the world. The chance to, you know, start a family and own your own home and all those things that we took for granted, call it the California dream, all just completely gone. So housing was really at the heart of that. I started work on that issue. I really enjoyed learning about it, talking to people about what was going wrong. I put together a ballot initiative, actually, to try and make that happen. This is all while I was hosting Next Revolution. And that experience, we didn't get it off the ground, couldn't raise enough money. But then that experience took me to Sacramento, and I started engaging with lawmakers in the state capital. And I just thought, wow, this place is so totally broken and corrupt. I mean, on a scale I hadn't imagined. And so that's really what got my interest going. And then I started a policy organization called Golden Together, started traveling the state. I was invited to speak at Republican events, the Lincoln Reagan dinners and all of that. And I just got to know the state better. And that whole process really, so it's a gradual process. And then and at a certain point during that, I don't remember exactly when I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go for it.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, let's go back to little Steve Hilton. Like, I was born in. Tell us about growing up. What were you like? Were you into sport? Were you a
Oh my gosh.
Were you a geek? Were you like, let's just give us your background. It's kind of growing.
Yeah. Well, the starting point is my parents are Hungarian, and they fled communism in Hungary in different ways at different times, actually. And so I was born in London, and then we moved down to a town called Brighton on the south coast of England, a really fun town. It's a kind of seaside resort. A great place to grow up. My parents split up when I was pretty young, three
or four.
Were
you the only child, or do you have brothers, sisters?
I was the only child of my parents, my exact parents. My father had a child with his first wife, so I had a half-sister. Right. And then when my dad left, and my mom got together with my stepfather. I really grew up with my mom and my stepfather, actually. Right. And he had three sons, and so that was the family, the four boys. And we grew up together in England, in Brighton. And started out, you know, it's pretty regular working class family, nothing special, not dire poverty, just regular working class aspirational family. My stepfather worked construction. He worked construction because he was a Hungarian refugee and didn't speak English, particularly when he arrived after 1956. The Soviet invasion took place then, and a lot of refugees left Hungary and were sent all over Europe. And so my childhood was a combination of, I was always pretty into books and reading and probably pretty nerdy, honestly. I always did well at school, worked hard, but I did also have that experience of work, as it were. You know, I'd go on the construction sites with my stepfather. I'd help him with the books at the kitchen table, that kind of thing. And I do remember really wanting to earn money. We didn't have much money, and I just wanted to earn money. I remember taking all these little jobs, like, you know, you probably wouldn't be allowed nowadays, but like at Christmas time, you could get jobs earning a bit of money, helping the postal service deliver the extra mail. You know, like they called it Christmas postman in England. So, you know, earn a bit of money to them, that kind of thing. So I was always into that. I always wanted to earn money. But I was pretty academic, actually, more than sports.
Interesting. All right. So you're growing up, and then, you know, you got to get focused in life. And the educational system's a little bit different than the United States. So what did you decide? Where did you focus? Because my understanding is, yeah, you got involved in politics and political service there in the UK.
Yeah, it was pretty early. I mean, I did pretty well at school. I got into Oxford University, which was an amazing, catapult into a world I would never otherwise have encountered. And you're at Oxford, and you're sort of rubbing shoulders with the elite, actually. That's just what it is, you know. And my mom always told me, you're just as good as anyone. So I actually didn't feel out of place. I really enjoyed my time there, even though I was from a completely different background to a lot of people.
Let me just jump in there, Steve. I grew up in a household too that was very similar. You know, we were doing pretty well in life. We were in an idyllic neighborhood and all that. But the parental attitude towards me and my brother was, if not you, who? And why not you? Like,
right.
You can do it. Like, go for it. You know, if you fail, get up, try another thing. And that is such an important thing, I think, in raising families and kids. And it's just give them the confidence and say, it's okay. And you know what? When I first ran for office and when I finally got comfortable with the idea that it's okay if I lost, then I was really good because I just laid it all out there.
That's certainly true in California. Everyone expects you to lose when you're running as a Republican in California. I'm very confident I can win, but I think that's right. That gives you the same attitude.
But for you going into Oxford and you're from Brighton, you're like, nah, you know, what am I doing here? But you're like, but if you have the confidence, like, yeah, I can do it if I just focus.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really start. I mean, I did okay. I wasn't like a top student. I was kind of.
But in Oxford, that's pretty good.
No, exactly. But I really, it's interesting. By the end of it, I was really sick of it, honestly, academic. Just wanted to. Well, I had this real feeling that I just wanted to get out into the world and work, and I didn't want to stay another day in academic life. And then the politics thing came in because I did all the terrible, you know, I was trying to earn money, and in between, in my Oxford University vacations, I did all these ridiculous, you know, wait, I missed out a very important step. Before I went, I was pretty young because I, as I said, I was pretty good academically. So they'd sort of pushed me up different, you know, grades in school. I was like 3 years ahead of my actual age, as it were, for grades. And so I was really young by the time I got, sort of finished high school. And so I took a year off. Which a lot of, you know, the sort of wealthier kids, you know, they call it a gap year, and they kind of, there's a bit of a parody. You know, they travel the world and they hang out in Thailand or whatever. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to work. And so I got a job at in the Times newspaper or something. And it was basically an intern type job for a construction company in London. And I was down in Brighton, but it's very easy train. It was like just under an hour train ride. And I headed up to London. I loved it. I felt like I'd grown up. You know, I was only 16 years old. And by then I'd finished high school. And I really loved this job. And I would go up to London, and it started off just real kind of office stuff, right? Hanging around and helping with filing papers and plans for, it was a construction company, but commercial stuff. And then it just got busier, fast growing. It was a new unit of an old construction company in London that had been around for hundreds of years. And they coincided with Mrs. Thatcher, who was the Prime Minister, deregulating the finance industry in England. And it was called the Big Bang. And there was an explosion of, you know, especially American finance companies and Wall Street firms moving into London and making London their base for a whole bunch, which is now London's the financial capital of Europe by far. And it really started then. And so there was a lot of new offices and dealing rooms and all these things that had to be built very quickly. And we just got all this work out of nowhere. It just suddenly exploded, and they couldn't keep up with it. So I was just around, and, you know, obviously was keen, and they made me a junior project manager. And honestly, I look back on that, and for most of my year there, that's what I did. I just think it's the most useful training I ever had. I would literally show up, you know, I'd manage construction projects, and I would go there to the construction site. I was a kid, but I, you know, they had no one else. So I would go there, and you'd be dealing with, you know, all sorts of people. And it really is very interesting. I had a conversation. I did Don Jr.'s podcast not long ago, and we were talking about it. You know, and we started getting into the jargon of construction and Gantt charts and all this stuff that you used to, you know, measure progress. And you have to go to these sites and say, well, what's going on? That should have been built. Why isn't it built? If you don't finish that, then this team can't start the electrical work or whatever it may be. And it was just an amazing training in all sorts of ways. Life training, you have to deal with different kinds of people. You're you know, from blue collar workers right up to the client or whatever it may be. And you've got to be incredibly practical and focused on real specific things. And when I think about this job that I'm running for now, truly, I said, well, how are you qualified or whatever? Actually, I do point back to that job because it teaches you. And in fact, many of the other jobs I've done in my career are project management type jobs. And that's really what it should be in the executive function of government, where you're literally supposed to be running things. That is project management. That is, has this been done? Why not? That's why Trump's good. And that's why all these useless, that's why these machine politicians like Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass, whatever, so useless. They have no experience in that kind of thing. Whereas President Trump is that attitude. Like, wait, why hasn't that been done? You told me it would be done. Get on the phone. Why, you know, that attitude, progress chasing, practical, problem solving, it's what you need in terms of the executive, not in the legislature, but in the executive function of government. That's the job. And actually, that very first job, even before I went to Oxford, truly got me going in that direction in a very, very practical way.
Yeah, I don't want to get into this rabbit hole too much, but like minimum wage and stuff, we take a whole younger generation and then we forget that they need some entry-level training, some apprentice-type jobs, because you carry those principles and those experiences with you throughout your whole career.
Yes, it's really important. So actually, funny, if I hadn't made that connection, I will. That's a great idea. I'm going to do that. Yes,
very good. So you have a you're going to Oxford. You had this good job before then. Then where do you go after Oxford?
So that's when the politics came in. When in the vacations for Oxford, I used to try and earn a bit of money in the vacations, just like doing these terrible, this was like quick jobs, you know, like 3 weeks during the Christmas vacation or whatever. And there was so, and one of them was so boring. I remember thinking, I cannot do this again.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Steve Hilton right after this.
I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
This February,
share the love and win big
at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Play our $35,000 Share the Love Swipe to Win promotion.
Win free slot play or cash.
It's simple. Spin the wheels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily. Every 200 points gets you in and drawings for free slot play Thursdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Final drawing February 26th,
where five winners every half hour will take home up to $2,500.
Fall in love with winning.
And find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Is your garden ready to wake up from winter? Grange Co-op has everything you need at our Early Start Garden Sale, now through February 22nd. Spring is on the way, and we're celebrating with big savings. Take 40% off garden seeds, 30% off houseplants, and get a buy three, get one free deal on Rogue Poultry Feed. Whether you're planting new blooms or perfecting your lawn, Grange Co-op has you covered. Swing by Grange Co-op at 55 Lake Boulevard in Reading, or shop online at grangecoop.com to jumpstart your spring garden today.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us. delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22 12 642.
Everybody calls us.
Mendina's Cabinets. The local pros.
Mendina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mendina's Cabinets. The local pros who know. Mendina's Cabinets. The local pros.
530-365-8108. Or visit MandinasCabinets.com.
Jason in the house.
Walk us through, because I want to get to your part where you're now running for governor. So you ascend. You went pretty high up the food chain there, didn't you?
Well, what happened was that I did that for a couple of years, and then in 1990 when I started there, 1992, which by then they kicked out Mrs. Thatcher, which was outrageous, and you know, I don't want to get into the UK politics too much, but she was replaced by John Major in a kind of internal party thing, and the next general election was 1992, and I was, by this time I was working, after Oxford, they asked me back, after the intern thing, they said, look, you know, we liked you, if you want to apply for a full-time job when you leave Oxford, we'd be open to it. I said, yeah, I didn't think of it. You know, great. So I did the interview. I got hired. So my first job out of Oxford was actually the Conservative Party in the research department, where I had a proper researcher's job. I was the desk officer for trade and industry and energy policy, which is a combination of writing briefs and policy research and whatever. And then 1992 is the general election, and I get hired to do this really amazing job, which is to be the go-between between the political, you know, between the party headquarters and the party's ad agency, which was a very famous ad agency at the time called Saatchi & Saatchi. And
yeah,
they were famous for helping elect Mrs. Thatcher in the first place. So that put me in this amazing world, because that by this time, this company, Saatchi & Saatchi, had grown to be the world's largest advertising and marketing agency. They bought all these famous US brands and so on. The founders, Charles and Maurice Saatchi, were, you know, they were running a global company, but because it was the UK election, they were very directly involved. And so I got to know them personally. I worked with them on this campaign. And it was just an incredible opportunity. We did the election, won the election against the odds, actually. The Labour Party was supposed to win. It was the fourth election victory in a row for the Conservative Party. But then I was hired by that agency. And that got me into the whole world of business and marketing. And I worked all around the world, did commercial stuff, lived in Hong Kong for a year working there. You know, it was a whole bunch of, you know, amazing things. And then from that, I started my own business called Good Business. That was 1997. So I did a lot of business stuff before getting back into politics. But the way I got back into politics was right back in the early days of working at the Conservative Party. David Cameron was also there with me. He'd been there a year or so before me, working in the research department. We became friends. We'd spent, you know, good friends, actually. I also met my wife there. I mean, we were friends long before we got married. But there's a whole bunch of us who worked there together. And then while I went off and did all this business stuff, including starting my own company, including a couple of restaurants and all these other things, David Cameron went into politics, got elected to Parliament, and then many years later decided that he wanted to run for office to become the leader of the Conservative Party in the internal election for that. He asked me to run his campaign. I did. He was really not considered as, you know, in the initial kind of polls for that, he was like on 3%. But then he won, which I always knew we would, because he was the future, and all the other candidates were very much, you know, just weren't offering any kind of change. And by this time, the Conservatives had lost many elections in a row, because this was the era of Tony Blair's Labour Party and all of that. And so the party was sick of losing, and David Cameron was the new face that would kind of get us back on track. He won the leadership election. Then I went, and then he said, right, well, let's do this together. And so I worked for a few years really putting together the policy and communications plans and strategy for the general election campaign, you know, after which he became Prime Minister in 2010. And that's when I worked in 10 Downing Street as senior advisor, really focusing on domestic policy and, you know, fighting the bureaucracy and all the things that I think are going to really help me when I'm governor of California.
So there's a point where you actually leave the United Kingdom and you're going to come to the United States. Why did that happen? Where did you go?
So it was 2012, and actually really the thought process around that started the previous year, 2011, and the crucial moment then was the birth of our second son. So we our first son was born in December 2007, and a couple of years later, our second son was born. And at the time, I was working in 10 Downing Street. I had this big job, senior advisor in the UK government. And then my wife had a big job at Google, actually. She was working at Google. She was she's head of communications at Google Worldwide. And
wow.
She
I'll tell you, that
was
is a
basically,
big job.
It's a very big job. And she was doing that job from London because of my job in the government. And so, she that meant a lot of travel back and forth to California. And actually, almost worse than that was the time difference. Because it's a big 8-hour time difference.
Yeah.
So there was this, oh, you can do the job from London because we have, you know, video conferencing or whatever. But actually, it meant that she was getting home often, you know, really late at night, something 11 p.m., midnight. And we have a young baby in the house, and it was just too much. And so we felt for the sanity of our family, we should move to California so she could be. That's why we're in the Bay Area, near Google. Not necessarily thinking it would be forever, but just keep ourselves sane for that period. And that's what we did. We moved in 2012. And I actually was really looking forward to it because I was, you know, even before we moved here, I was in love with California. I'd been there a couple of times as a tourist, but I was in love with the idea of California, what it represented in my imagination. I remember many years before that, even before David Cameron became Prime Minister, I mean, this is going back a long way now, probably 20 years or so. I mean, when I say this, you'll realize how laughable it would be for anyone to think like this today. But one of the political magazines in the UK, The Spectator, they did a cover story on the policy strategy that I was really leading the development of for David Cameron before he became Prime Minister. And the cover story, the headline was California Dreaming. And the theme of the whole piece was Steve Hilton, David Cameron's policy guru. The agenda he's developing for the UK is to make the UK more like California. He's inspired by all this, the creativity and innovation. And then you think, my goodness, who would want to make their country anything like California now? But back then, you know, it was very inspiring. And so I was excited to come here. It wasn't, a lot of people reported it in the UK as, oh, what a sacrifice he's making for his wife and family. No, it didn't feel like that, honestly. I really was excited to come here. For the initial period that I was here, I'd arranged in advance, you know, with some friends and contacts to teach at Stanford, which I thought would be an interesting base to explore and see
sure.
what would
great
happen.
University.
And that was a different, that was really great, actually. And in fact, one of the classes that I taught was at this part of Stanford called the D School, which stands for Design, the Institute of Design. And it's not design in the sense that most people might think, which is, you know, visual design or what things look like. It's the kind of the deep process of innovation, actually, how you design new things. And it's the methodology used by all the tech companies. And so in order to teach there, I had to learn that process. And that really gave me the bug for starting another business here. So I started that in whenever it was 2013, just towards the beginning of 2014. And then so you know, in the classic Silicon Valley way, became the co-founder of a tech company, raised money on you know, from investors, and ran that for a few years until the offer came very unexpectedly to host a show on Fox News, which was really not in the game plan at all. But the really big moment I'll just describe to you is when I realized that this was it, I was in love with California, with America, with everything that this nation represents. And I really remember it. It was 2016, and I had gone back to the UK, first for a book tour. I published a book in 2015 called More Human, Designing a World Where People Come First. Did pretty well in the UK. They did a paperback edition, which came out in 2016. And 2016, if you remember, was the year of the Brexit referendum, just before the Trump revolution here. And you had these two kind of populist uprisings.
Right.
But the first of them was Brexit. And I went back to the UK, and it was around about that time. And for the introduction, the foreword to the paperback edition of my book, I came out in favor of Brexit. And that was a big deal in the UK because my former boss and close friend, David Cameron, was on the other side. He was against it. And so that played out very strongly in the media in the UK. Rupert Murdoch saw that, was interested in what I was saying. We connected. He connected me in with some people at Fox. I started doing commentary, and that led to my show, which was really about, and as you know, because you were such a regular on the show, then, and you, I think you guest hosted a couple of times as well,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole theme of the show was this, it's called The Next Revolution, and it was all about the populist, the new populism in our politics. And so that's how that all happened.
More Jason in the House next.
Pay- paid for by government.
The 1986 to 2021 United States Silver Eagle, the first ever U.S. silver dollar minted in 99.9% pure silver and is the best-selling coin in the world. These original and historic silver dollars have ceased production forever. They will never be minted again. For a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck silver dollars are being released to the public. You can own a full pound of original U.S. silver dollar coins featuring Lady Liberty and the Heraldic Eagle, never to be struck again, guaranteed. Call now to secure original United States Silver Eagles by the pound, the first U.S. silver dollars ever to be struck in 99.9% pure silver. Plus, receive a free bonus, an American Collector's Pack valued at over $40, and free shipping with every order. Call 1-800-560-6468 now to secure your full pound bag of United States Silver Eagle coins before they are gone. That's 1-800-560-6468.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
An 8-year-old from the UK whose dreams to become a firefighter came true makes today's Dean's List. Elliot lives with a rare genetic condition that affects only a few children worldwide and causes neurological damage over time. He's nonverbal, but through other ways, he has let his family know how much he loves the world of firefighting. His face lights up whenever he sees anything that has to do with being a firefighter. So with the help of Make-A-Wish Foundation and the Derbyshire Fire and Rescue, Elliot got to be a firefighter for a day. He was able to meet all of the first responders, got a tour of the station, rode on the fire engine, and held a water hose, which was his favorite part. The joy on his face and the little happy dances he did throughout the day conveyed all of his enthusiasm. The Derbyshire Fire and Rescue Team say it was a privilege to make Elliot's wish come true, and seeing his strength, bravery, resilience firsthand was an inspiration to everyone. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Take a pause.
It's nearly that time of year when you may see more coyotes on the prowl, getting wild as they look for a mate. Wildlife officials say coyote mating season usually runs from late January and into March. Luke Perkins with Colorado Parks and Wildlife says if you see them, don't feed them.
Extended exposure to people and feeding can cause what's called habituation, where they just start to not see humans as threats, which is definitely not good. That's whenever they start coming in closer and closer.
He also says watch out for your pets.
Coyotes are definitely opportunistic hunters when they can be, and so if this is what is going to be an opportunity for them to be able to feed, they will take advantage of that opportunity when they can.
You may be able to protect your small dog with a coyote vest. It's covered with spikes, so biting down on your little dog will not be pleasant. But trying to get a cat to wear a vest? Well, good luck with that. Take pause. Jill Nato, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Now, you woke up one day and said, yeah, I think I want to be part of the solution. I mean, Gavin Newsom has just driven that place into the ground. Like, I mean, there's a reason why people are fleeing the state. What is it that you can do? Because if they just keep voting for Democrats, why do you expect a different result?
Exactly.
You
know, we have to change
direction. Try a different direction, right? You want different results, 100%. You're going to elect different people.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 16 years now of one-party rule, where Democrats have controlled everything. All the statewide offices, the legislature with a supermajority, so Republicans have basically no say in what goes on, and all the big counties and all the big cities. Total Democrat control, one-party rule. And the results just a catastrophic failure. I don't think it's appreciated outside of California just how bad it is, because people, and there's no reason why people shouldn't, you know, if you're busy living your life in, you know, Tennessee or wherever, well, you see the Californians arriving, so I guess you hear their tales of what a disaster it is. But the, you know, the visible signs of it, you know, we used to report often on the, on, you know, on Fox, the homelessness, crime, the smash and grabs, all that kind of stuff, that's visible and you can see it and the whole country has seen that. But when you actually look under the hood and look at the sort of basics of daily life in California, it is astonishing how badly they've done on everything all at once. So we have the highest costs for everything in the country, literally, you know, the highest gas prices, electric bills, water, utilities, rent, insurance, groceries, everything, the most expensive. Then you look at taxes, the highest in the country, highest tax rates, then you high sales tax rate, highest income tax rate. Then you look at the, you know, just the aggregate measures of things. So US News and World Report, California is 50th out of 50 states for opportunity when they take a measurement of the schools and so on. Wallet Hub, I believe they do the survey of 50th out of 50 for affordability. We have the highest poverty rate in the country and the highest unemployment rate in the country. It's insane. Then you look at business climate. Chief Executive Magazine does an annual survey of places to do business. For the last 10 years, California is 50th out of 50. It just got on and on. You see, almost every indicator of anything that's worth measuring, we're not just doing badly, we are the worst performer in America of all 50 states. It's astonishing how Newsom and this regime have managed to screw everything up at once on the scale that they have.
So what do you want to do about it, Steve? I mean,
it's a great question.
I mean, you know, there's the metrics are all moving in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You have this massive illegal immigration problem. You have
yes.
financial catastrophe. So what? How do you handle?
Well, the underlying problem. I mean, this isn't necessarily the election. I mean, when I'm on the campaign trail and I'm talking about what I will do and how it will benefit you in your life, it's very simple, practical things. End the Democrats' climate crusade so we can have $3 gas and cut your electric bills in half. Cut the fraud and waste and bloat in state government so we can cut taxes for working people. Your first $100,000, no state income tax. Stop free healthcare for illegal immigrants so we can lower healthcare costs for you. And then finally, end the insane regulations that make it so expensive to build anything and end the war on single family homes so we can restore the California dream of a home you can afford to buy. So that's how it benefits people and voters. But in the end, the underlying driver of all of those problems that require those solutions is this massive expansion and this bloated nanny state bureaucracy that's making everything so complicated, so costly and so expensive in a literal sense. And that drives the tax burden because they grow the government. It's actually a very classic, simple story. They've just grown the government bigger and bigger and bigger every single year. That in the last 5 years, they've nearly doubled the budget of the state of California while everything gets worse.
Wait a second. Say that again. That's an amazing statistic.
That's an amazing statistic. So you go back just before the pandemic, like 5 years ago, the budget of the state of California is about $180 billion. The budget that Newsom just signed off, just proposed in his January budget statement, $350 billion. That's nearly double. That's amazing.
That's crazy. All right.
It's crazy.
So you have this.
So the drivers of that is all these, you know, like some of it is, you know, corrupt spending on luxury pensions and healthcare for unions, the government unions, for example, which is totally corrupt because that's all in response to, you know, that's what they get in exchange for their bribes to they fund Newsom and all the politicians. If you look at Newsom's, main categories of donations since he's all those 16 years, by the way, of one party rule, Newsom's been in office 8 years as lieutenant governor, he's in his eighth year as governor. And in all those years, the number one category of his donors are government unions. Interestingly, the second largest are lawyers, trial lawyers. And so you've got a huge problem in California. If you run any kind of business, massive problem with litigation, all these nuisance lawsuits, extortionate lawsuits. And I've spent a lot of time on that because, you know, I used to run small businesses. I used to run restaurants, as I mentioned earlier. And you try and run a restaurant, a bar, any kind of small business like that in California, you are guaranteed to be hit by these outrageous extortionate lawsuits. And it's all fueled by Democrat policy. They passed something called the PAGA, the Private Attorney General Act, which means that they basically outsource the enforcement of state labor law to trial lawyers. And so it's a whole racket now, an industry. They advertise on Instagram and they get all these totally spurious claims. You know, they misspelled your name on a pay stub. And now you're on, you know, on the hook for 60, you know, massive lawsuit, and you settle for whatever you can. And it's tens of thousands, for many businesses, hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars a year in these payouts. That's total normal practice in California. That's just one tiny example. So it's a lot of corruption. And, you know, what I'm doing methodically, because I'm a policy guy and I've worked inside of a government on all these issues, I'm going through what you can actually do. Of course, when I'm elected this year, it's likely that we'll still face a supermajority in the legislature. I'm working hard to stop that. I'll be actively campaigning across the board, not just in my race, but for state legislative candidates, so that we start to chip away at the supermajority. I mean, it's going to be tough to break it this year, but that's our goal. Whatever, let's assume that they still have the supermajority and they won't cooperate. I'll expect their cooperation, of course, because the people will have spoken and wanted a change of direction. I'll expect them to help me implement my agenda. But let's say that they don't agree to do that. Then you've got a lot of power, as President Trump is showing, just by running the executive branch well and professionally and seriously in a manner that you're well prepared for. And so even now during the campaign, I'm regularly making announcements about the people I'm going to hire in my administration, people I'm going to put into these agencies, the swamp in Sacramento. Talk about the administration. I mean, you've written about this better than anyone, the deep state. In California, it's even worse, because at least in Washington, you've had alternating Republican-Democrat administrations. And so you've had a slight infusion over the years of a different way of thinking. That hasn't happened in California. It's been a one-way street of left, left, left. And so the entrenched leftism in all these government agencies is astonishing in California. But that's also an opportunity for big change, because you can kick these people out and if you know what you're doing and go about it the right way. So the real change I think we're going to be able to make is to take a sledgehammer to this bloated nanny state bureaucracy. That's why just the other week on the campaign trail, I've announced the formation of CalDOGE, the California Department of Government Efficiency. That's a real thing. We actually had a meeting about it just this morning. We're taping this Friday, February the 6th. Just this morning, we had an operational meeting of CalDOGE. So at this point, it's all volunteers. We've got serious people who are looking at both sides of that DOGE idea, finding the fraud and the waste and the abuse, but also looking at the structure of government where we can close down agencies or massively reduce them, reduce overlapping and duplicatory functions with counties and cities and so on. So there's real work going on. We're going to be very well prepared to take over and make a big difference from day one.
Steve Hilton, running to be the governor of the great state of California. Where can people find out more about what you're doing?
Thank you, Jason. So the campaign website, stevehiltonforgovernor.com, with an F-O-R, stevehiltonforgovernor.com. We would love anybody's support. Get involved. We're building a real grassroots army. Money is always welcome, as you know, Jason. We're up against the unions. They got unlimited money. By the way, it's our money. It's taxpayer money that these government unions are funneling back to politicians on the left. Anyway, there's stevehiltonforgovernor.com, and follow me on social media at stevehiltonx.
Oh, very good. Steve, thanks for joining us on the Jason and the House podcast, and I hope to see you soon. Thanks again.
Of course. Great to be with you. Thanks, Jason.
Steve, I wish him all the best. I thank him for joining us. You can see he's got the passion. He's got the energy. That's what I love about Steve. Like, he really wants to get after it. Be fascinated to see what he does. I hope you can rate the podcast. You can subscribe to it so it shows up every Monday morning. And I want to remind people, you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. I'm Jason Chaffetz. Check out our library. We've done hundreds of interviews with newsmakers and entertainers and sports figures along the way. And hope you join us again next week. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Attention investors, this affects you. Silver prices are exploding, with silver exceeding $100 a troy ounce for the first time. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 to get our free Golden Silver Investment Guide. Plus, you'll also receive a free copy of economist Ken Rogoff's book, Our Dollar, Your Problem, when you call now. Here's why it matters. Silver is a high liquidity, tangible, and affordable precious metal investment that serves as an industrial commodity and a store of value. It often outperforms gold during economic upturns.
returns. If you have an IRA or 401k, you can act now. Roll over a portion into a tax-advantaged gold and silver IRA backed by physical metals you actually own. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and find out how you can get a tax and penalty-free rollover for a portion of your retirement funds for 2026. Results vary. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Lawmakers are considering the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act. It is a proposed law that would require U.S. citizens to provide documentary proof of citizenship, such as a birth certificate or passport, when registering to vote. GOP strategist Aaron McGuire says that having to provide an ID is a pretty common practice.
I can't check into a hotel room without an ID. I can't rent a car. I can't go to the library and get a library card without an ID to prove I live in the neighborhood where my library is. But for Democrats, the idea of performing or having an ID feels so racist and out of their mind. No, the racism is when you believe that people, because of the color of their skin, are unable to get an ID.
McGuire, a guest on the Salem Radio Network. A bill has been introduced in the Washington State Senate that would raise money, some of which would go to media outlet in the state. The Seattle Times supports the bill as a lifeline for local news, but critics like economist Steve Moore say it's actually a blueprint for government dependency by the press.
There's not a shortage of news. It's just the Seattle Times isn't providing news that people want or care about, and they can't make it in the free enterprise system. And of course, they want to become a welfare patient. And, there's no reason that taxpayers should have to pay for something that they don't want to buy.
He made his comments to the Salem Radio Network as well. The Swiss Foreign Ministry says Iran and the U.S. will hold a second round of talks this week over Tehran's nuclear program. Oman will host the events in Geneva. The ministry didn't say which days it would be. Politicians from President Trump on down agree that tech companies should cover the power costs for AI data centers, but they're still fighting over what the fair share might be. Utilities often spread new power plant and grid costs across all customers. Data centers are growing fast. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-366-6161. That's 800-366-6161. 800-366-6161.
A shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security has gone into effect. That includes the TSA, whose officers are responsible for screening passengers and bags at airports. But experts say mass flight cancellations like those seen during the 2025 shutdown are not likely this time because the air traffic controllers are still getting paid. However, TSA officers are required to stay on the job without pay during the shutdown as it drags on and officers take unscheduled absences. Congress won't be back in town for about 10 days. Five European countries say Russia poisoned Alexei Navalny, the opposition leader, with a rare toxin linked to poison dart frogs. The UK, France, Germany, Sweden, and the Netherlands say European lab tests confirm this. They say the toxin does not occur naturally in Russia, but they argue that Russia has the means, motive, and opportunity to administer the poison. Russia has also reported to a chemical weapons watchdog, which didn't comment immediately. News and analysis at townhall.com. The rising cost of coffee forcing some to give up their brew while others complain but keep on drinking.
For years, Chandra Donaldson of D.C. drank a daily cup of McDonald's coffee with 10 sugars and 5 creams. Later, it was Starbucks Caramel Macchiato. Dismayed by rising prices, she gave it up. Years of steadily climbing coffee prices have some nixing and cafe visits, switching to cheaper brews, or foregoing it altogether. Others keep drinking, but grumble over coffee prices, which in the U.S. were up over 18% in January from a year ago, according to government data. I'm Julie Walker.
Today is Sunday, February the 15th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today. They include actress Jane Seymour, who is 75 years old. Singer Melissa Manchester, remember her? Well, she's also 75 today. Olympic swimming gold medalist Amy Van Dyken-Ruin is 53. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Your next outdoor adventure starts February 27th through March 1st at the Crown Motors Boats Ford and RV Show. Shop low show prices and see the KRCR Wild Eagle Encounter. Enter the photo contest with thousands in prizes, the Great Maine Lobster Hunt, and so much more. With kids' activities, guides, lodges, and demos, all at Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson. Lots of RVs, ATVs, trailers, boats, and more at the NorCal Boats Ford and RV Show, February 27th through March 1st. Get your $2 off coupon at Grange Co-op in Reading and enjoy free Senior Friday courtesy of Rain Rock Casino.
Please join us for a fundraising dinner in support of Clint Curtis for County Clerk. Saturday, February 28th, Anderson VFW. Live auction, drawing, games, and a great barbecue dinner catered by Rockin' Peas. For tickets, call Patrick at 530-222-3223. Clint Curtis for County Clerk is the only Republican in this race, and he needs your support now. At this event, Saturday, February 28th, at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street, and thank you for your support.
Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Fair's All-Star Panel.
It's a high-stakes week on Capitol Hill. Tuesday, telecom giants Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T testified regarding the Arctic Frost investigation. Verizon facing the brunt of the scrutiny over alleged violations of the Communications Act of 1934. Meanwhile, the Epstein file investigation is intensifying as well, following a review of unredacted documents. Representatives Thomas Massey, Republican, and Democrat Ro Khanna announced they've identified six new individuals allegedly tied to Epstein's crimes.
The point is that these six are just what we found in 2 hours of a review of the files that aren't redacted. The broader issue is why so many of the files they're getting are redacted in the first place. And until that becomes unredacted, the main things that they're sending to the career attorneys to review, I don't think we're going to have full compliance with the law get to the question that most Americans want to know.
Finally, as another partial government shutdown looms, the heads of three major immigration agencies testified before the House Homeland Security Committee. They remain at the center of a heated DHS funding battle. Lots to discuss this week. Let's bring in our panel. Fox News contributor Karl Rove, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today, Susan Page, and Fox News Chief Congressional Correspondent Chad Pergram. Chad, a lot happening on Capitol Hill. What's the most important?
Well, I think the thing that you have to watch in terms of, the one that has the most energy right now is the question of the Epstein files. You've had a number of Democrats and Republicans go to the Justice Department to review these partially unredacted Epstein files, and most members, both sides of the aisle, including the architects of this, Ro Khanna, the Democrat from California, Thomas Massie, Republican of Kentucky, who put this bill through to release these, and everybody suddenly voted for them, almost everybody here on Capitol Hill, are not pleased with this. And this is why Ted Lieu, the vice chair of the House Democratic Caucus, indicated that when Pam Bondi, the attorney general, appears before the House Judiciary Committee, that he said he might actually name the people who he believes face criminal liability or should face criminal liability in that hearing. That would be a rather extraordinary moment. I mean, Republicans would rather have Pam Bondi come before the committee and talk about some of the court successes they've had in enforcing the immigration policy, detaining people and the way they hold people to kind of, you know, change the narrative about what's been going on in Minnesota. But that's probably not going to be the conversation. And just the fact that Democrats were able, and some Republicans, able to walk out of the closed door virtual deposition on Monday with Ghislaine Maxwell from prison and say, you know, according to her attorney, she wants some clemency from the president, that people from both sides were saying, well, you know, this demonstrates that she's just trying to angle for a pardon. Her counsel did say that they didn't think that there was any indication that President Trump or former President Clinton, who's supposed to appear for a deposition later this month, did any wrongdoing. And we say this against the backdrop of efforts to try to fund DHS, a pretty, startling hearing, with some of the border control officials before the House Homeland Security Committee, and also just a struggle to put out the fire on another partial government shutdown, this time specific to DHS, in the wee hours of Saturday morning, Brett.
Yeah, a lot happening. Susan, Chad mentioned the virtual deposition with Ghislaine Maxwell, the associate of Jeffrey Epstein, where she says that there's no wrongdoing for President Trump or former President Clinton. Obviously, she's saying that from custody and looking for a clemency. There is a document that people are pointing to now that goes back years and years, where President Trump, then Donald Trump, calls the Palm Beach police chief and says it's really good that you're going after Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein. They're the evil people, according to this document. These millions and millions of documents, though, every day, it seems, to produce another storyline. And where do you think it's going?
Well, how extraordinary is this? I mean, Epstein is dead for years. And I think people, including those who have been caught up in this, thought this was a story that was over. But the persistence of the young women and girls who were victimized by Epstein has led us to this point where it's something the White House has had to answer about almost every day. It's something that has cost a British prince's title and has cost corporate chiefs here in the United States their jobs. And it is not over yet. The idea of a pardon and whether you could then trust what Maxwell tells you if she got a pardon, if she got clemency, and then cleared President Trump and President Clinton, as she says she would do, would you believe her? I find this to be just an extraordinary turn of events that has enveloped our politics, and as I said, it's not over yet.
Yeah. How it's been handled, though, is a big part of it. And there is, a lot of criticism going around about the DOJ, the FBI, and the administration, Carl. That said, it's an elephant gun as far as the political damage potentially on either party. How do you see it politically, especially vis-a-vis the upcoming midterms?
Well, I think it's going to have an impact because I think the Democrats recognize this is one of these unique moments. It's like JFK's assassination or the moon landing. 5 or 10 years from now, this is still going to be incomplete in many people's minds. I mean, people are wound up in this thing, and I think the Democrats are willing to have this thing continue through the November election because part of the electorate that's most interested in this and most convinced that there is a powerful group of influential elite members of society who are involved in this, sex club, if you will, with Jeffrey Epstein, need to be made public. And the fact that they haven't been is going to cause those people to trust the system even less. And they tend to be on the MAGA side. So I think the Democrats are going to push this issue of transparency and have, you know, where's the beef? When are we going to see the real truth? I think they're going to continue to push this in part because it's good politics for them. It's one of the things that sort of discombobulates the Trump coalition.
Chad, you know, sometimes before a midterm, the State of the Union address is a way to throw a long ball and some policy wish. We don't know that that's happening, but there does have to be a dynamic change for there to be a shift in the politics here. Obviously, Republicans are hoping for massive growth in Q1 and Q2, and that's going to lift everybody up. What are you hearing on Capitol Hill?
It depends what the vibe is. Some voters will say they're not feeling it in their pocketbook, so that's something, and that's why there's this push by Republicans to have some sort of major legislative achievement this calendar year, you know, that is on par with the Big Beautiful Bill, which doesn't seem to be resonating with the public as much. You know, good luck with that. I'm not going to say that they're not going to get that done, but they'd have to, you know, use this special process called budget reconciliation, which is, very, very challenging. Get that through the House, get that through the Senate. That narrow margin. There's a lot of folks who say we have to get this done, but we keep seeing this time bleed off the clock. I mean, they're struggling right now with a provision about, imposing tariffs, whether or not the House would be allowed to come back with legislation about tariffs, something that Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, suspended that right of the House, last year. So they're struggling internally with that. They're probably going to struggle, with issues regarding the SAVE Act. That's something that's coming back in the House of Representatives as well. So when you have those big picture bread and butter issues, that makes it very challenging, and Republicans want to say, and voters want to see what the majority has done for them. You know, if we get into another partial government shutdown here, you've got two camps on the Republican side. Some Republicans who represent moderate states or swing states or swing districts who say, we have to, have these guardrails up here with ICE. We have to at least show that we voted for that. And other Republicans, who are more hardcore say, no, we don't. So they can't even agree on that. And the one thing I want to keep coming back to, and Carl will appreciate this, when you deal with these midterms, the party of the president has lost seats in nearly 90% of midterm elections. That's 20 of 23. There's only been a couple of times where they've ever gained seats. This was President Clinton in 1998. They gained five. George W. Bush in 2002, 8. FDR back in the 30s gained 9. That was during the Great Depression. So unless you have some sort of seismic event, this is really going against the party of the president. But this is going to be the tough thing. When you look at some of these districts, we had this issue in New Jersey. Mikey Sherrill's seat, the governor now, she was a moderate Democrat. That was viewed as a generally, moderate Democratic seat. Well, Tom Malinowski is a former Democratic congressman from another district, a moderate. He was, probably going to win that seat. Well, now they've nominated, and Malinowski has conceded now, Annalena Mejia, who is a progressive associated with Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Did the Democrats make seats like that that should be layups in the fall, unelectable because they come back and that message does not resonate with the district? And the same thing happens to the Republicans. And that's why I would say if the races are really, really tight, because there's not many seats that are technically in play, Republicans maybe with a seat in New Jersey like that, maybe they can expand the playing field a little bit. But that's why it might be very hard to know for days, weeks. Maybe we get to the start of the Congress on January 3rd as to who actually controls the House of Representatives.
We'll be back with more of my All-Star panel right after this.
More of the Fred Fair Show coming up.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I'm Dr. Howard Levine, director of Cleveland Nasal Sinus and Sleep Center. During cold and flu season, I tell my patients the key to staying well is to pull out germs, mucus, bacteria, and viruses from the nose using the Navage-powered nasal irrigator. I irrigate my own nose daily with Navage to stay healthy and after seeing sick patients.
For drug-free congestion relief, trust number one doctor-recommended Navage, available at Walmart and Walgreens.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. After my husband died, the last thing I wanted to think about was money. Ethos made it affordable to get life insurance. Signing up was fast and 100% online. I knew that I could pay our mortgage and have food in the fridge. I could focus on my kids. No one ever tells you how much you're going to depend on that policy. I am so grateful we had coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. You know, the big wireless companies say they have discounts for people over 55. But unless you're willing to sit on hold and ask, you're probably paying more than you should. At Consumer Cellular, there's nothing to hunt down. We're built for people 50 plus with plans starting at just $20. And our 100% U.S.-based customer service actually answers the phone. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today and get your second month free for a limited time.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
This is House Call for Health. Waking up too early, if it doesn't come naturally to you, might not be good for your health. The Wall Street Journal reports sleep experts are sounding the alarm about a viral trend of getting up at 5 a.m. The report says a lot of people are not getting the recommended amount of sleep per night, and forcing yourself to wake up too early could lead to some health problems, including sleep deprivation. The report says a person's ideal time to wake up is related to their chronotype. Sleep doctor Michael Bruce says about 55 to 65% of the population falls into the bears category. Those people wake up when the sun rises and are most productive between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. About 15 to 20% are early birds, waking up naturally around 6 or 6:30. And around 15 to 20% are night owls. Sleep experts say getting more hours of shut-eye, sunlight, and limiting caffeine or alcohol could help you get out of bed a little easier. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Superstar Taylor Swift makes the Dean's List for helping a young girl in Florida battling brain cancer. 2-year-old Lila has been fighting stage 4 cancer. Her mom, Caitlin, posted a video of her daughter in the hospital watching a video of Taylor Swift, and you can hear Lila say, "My friend." Miss Swift somehow saw the sweet clip and responded by donating $100,000 to a GoFundMe for Lila and left the comment, "Sending the biggest hug to my friend Lila. Love, Taylor." Caitlin was overwhelmed with gratitude and was in shock after she read the message and saw the donation. She wrote, quote, "I cannot thank you enough. I'm truly in shock. This means we don't have to worry about anything other than Lila. Truly such a blessing. Thank you, Taylor Swift." Janice Dean, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
He just may be the most successful music composer ever. Sir Paul McCartney talks about how he wrote a song for a movie, which has become one of his most popular songs to perform live.
Say, live and let die.
I thought, live and let die, it's not the easiest title around. But I thought of the obvious thing, the original expression being live and let live. But I enjoyed writing it. I read the book, I think, on the Saturday, the Ian Fleming original book, rather than look at a film script, so that I'd get my take on it or my feel for it. And then on the Sunday, I sat down at the piano and came quite quickly. I wrote the song. And Linda wrote the little middle bit, which is like a little reggae bit. What does it matter to you? You got a chance to get it. And that was it.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Bread Bear Show with
Fox News chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
Welcome back to the All-Star Panel. We now return to the Brett Baer Show. Susan, you know, immigration, as much as the images of ICE and the crackdowns in places like Minnesota and other cities have generated a lot of publicity and a lot of protests, if you look at polls, immigration is one of the areas where the president still does pretty well, or at least he's above water. Is it possible that Democrats are making the wrong choice here by holding the line on this partial government shutdown when ICE is already funded largely through 2029 and it's more symbolic than anything else?
Yeah, but the president gets very high ratings on control of the southern border. He no longer gets high ratings on the enforcement actions that we've seen in Minneapolis and elsewhere. But it is a really complicated thing for Democrats because there are some Democrats of the most progressive variety who want to abolish ICE. And I think there are more moderate Democrats who think that would be a terrible idea. And it reminds them of the whole debate over defunding the police, which was not did not play to Democrats' political advantage. So that's a complication for Democrats. But I would say when you look at midterm elections, they're not about the opposition party. They're about the party in power. They're about the presidents. They are referenda on the performance of the president. And at the moment, that is a big problem, I think, for Republicans.
Yeah. And the foreign policy successes, if you continue to add them up, Carl, you don't think that that plays at all in a midterm situation?
Oh, no, I think it plays to the president's advantage if they're successful, but he also needs to be on things that are important. You know, Greenland was a negative for him. You know, even, you know, a significant number, like 90-some-odd% of independents said we should not attack Greenland, occupy Greenland by military force, and he's out there threatening to invade. I have a slightly different view on the election. I think one of the interesting things about this election is that so far the Democrats have escaped responsibility for the problem that they're now complaining about. Who brought on the inflation? It was a Democratic president. And if this president was, I think, more, you know, strategic about it, he would be saying, you know what? It was Joe Biden's inflation, and we're trying to clean up this mess. We don't have it done yet. Things are getting better. But we were the ones that stepped in to solve it. You really want to put the same people back in power who started this problem in the first place? This is one where going on the offense against the opposition party might be to the president's advantage. And lowering the expectations of, or at least the description of what we have today would also be important because people don't feel that we are the hottest country in the world, that our economy is the best it's ever been. All the superlatives that the president talks about, I think Republican candidates and the president ought to be more measured in it and accept the fact that that a lot of people, while things are getting better, they don't feel like they are the best that they can be or should be. And, you know, the president's got plenty to say about what more can be done. He also has a lot of opportunities to say, remember, these same people are promising to do something about affordability today are the people who created the problem with all that wild spending and government regulation, red tape, and giveaways in 2021 and 2022.
Well, you know who agrees with you is Democratic consultant Kevin Walling, who I had on the show the other night. He said, take it from me, somebody who had tried to sell Bidenomics for a year and a half. This is about how people feel about the economy and figuring out how to talk about it. Last thing, Chad, voter ID. The president seems to be on a winning issue here. If you look at those polls, 80-20 to show an ID to vote.
Yeah, and that's why they're going to try to move this through the House of Representatives again with some changes that makes it even a little tougher. There's some questions whether or not the House of Representatives can pass that version. It already passed, and there's been this pressure on the Senate to take this up. Now, I pressed John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, today. I said, what is the status of the SAVE Act? And, you know, will you consider changing the filibuster in some form to bring this up? He had indicated the other day that this would be voted on and, you know, sometime in the near future, probably a vote related to this, trying to call this up. I was told the vote probably comes after the recess. Now, that's if there's a recess, which is up in the air now because of the, you know, potential partial government shutdown with DHS. But that said, Thune said, you know, there simply are not the votes, any way you crunch it, to be able to change the filibuster right now in the Senate, even for this. And, you know, I said, well, what are you going to do? And he said, well, you know, we'll try to figure out some sort of a workaround. So even if they get this through the House, which, as I say, this revised version is a little bit up in the air. They're certainly not going to be able to get it through the Senate. And, you know, you've had people on the right, ultra-conservatives and others at the White House clamoring to alter the filibuster and everything else, and there just is not that support to do that. I don't see any way that that gets done. And even if they were to put this into effect, you know, you immediately probably have major court challenges about how can we, you know, there has to be, you know, the election is November, but, you know, the states and everybody else has to have their formats ready to go in the late summer and fall. How do they implement this on the fly? You probably have a year or two run up with this. I remember the motor voter bill that they passed in Congress in 1993. You know, it takes a while to do this. You have to give some lead time. And their expectation is, oh, it has to be right now because you have this question in the Constitution of elections generally, with some oversight of the federal government, being administered by the states. It talks about time, place, and manner. Manner being the key there, and that's why this would probably wind up in court and probably not be in place for this fall's election, which, again, and you know, you talk to Democrats and others, they say that's why we believe that Republicans and specifically President Trump might call into question, you know, the validity of the fall vote, and maybe that's why, you know, we're still trying to hash out who has control of the House of Representatives in late December, if not January of 2027.
Okay, we have all of that to digest. Panel, thanks so much. And now for a bit of history. February 15th, 1798, the House floor turned into a brawl when Representatives Roger Griswold and Matthew Lyon came to blows. The feud started weeks earlier after Lyon spat tobacco juice in Griswold's eye. When the House refused to expel Lyon, Griswold took revenge by attacking him with a cane. Lyon defended himself with a pair of fireplace tongs until they were pulled apart. Remarkably, neither man was censured, though the fight was immortalized in the famous Congressional Pugilist cartoon. You can hear more of this series at FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you download your favorite podcast. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Carl, Susan, and Chad, I'm Brett Baer.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind, 1962.
Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway. A little bumpy along about here. Roger, 0G, and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous.
Let me ask you one simple question. Do you, Ambassador Zorin, deny that the USSR has placed and is placing medium and intermediate range missiles and sites in Cuba? Yes or no? Don't wait for the translation. Yes or no?
I am not in an American courtroom, sir, and therefore I do not wish to answer a question that is put to me in the fashion in which prosecutor does. In due course, sir, you will have your reply.
I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over, if that's your decision.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
News as it happens.
News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
History isn't just in textbooks. It's the story of us, the United States. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. From the spark of revolution to the battles for freedom. The ideas, inventions, and decisions that changed the world. The 250 most impactful moments in American history podcast. Listen and follow now at FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron-Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Su, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.box. You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron-Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi. Palizzi.
Hey, everybody, it's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On July 27, 1976, after months of legal wrangling, former Beatle John Lennon finally won residency in the U.S.
Well, it's great to be legal again. I'll tell my baby, and I thank you, and of course the Immigration Service for finally seeing the light of day, as they say. Good.
You want
thank you.
That
yeah, I'd love to. I should have got a different picture.
What does it mean to you after 5 years of struggling to become a permanent resident to get that green card?
Well, it was a very slow, long struggle, so it's not like, you know, it suddenly ends. I'll come out of it slowly, and I realize I can go to visit relatives in Japan, show them the baby, show them in England, you know, save them coming over here. And I can go visit the relatives and come back with safety now with the green card. How do you feel?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Fox on Games, your insider's cheat code to gaming.
Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade is breaking away from PlayStation starting on January 22nd, landing on the Xbox Series consoles and Nintendo Switch 2. It debunks the long-running rumor that the remake series would stay exclusive to Sony. The 2020 game praised for its retelling of the story of Cloud Strife.
This is a one-time gig. When it's done, we're done.
And his freedom-fighting friends, Avalanche.
He's my bodyguard and a soldier. Pretty cool, huh?
For the right price.
Against the mega corporation Shinra, and also by changing the ending that many gamers knew from the first 1997 version of the game. For survival game, Karn is proving to be a hit after a free trial. The Game Bakers made game is being noted for its climbing over treacherous terrain in the midst of a storm and its resource-based survival. The simulation allows you to climb anywhere on Mount Tenzin and on release, Mount Kami. Adapt your posture, effort, and balance, and if you're not careful, you will fall. Eamon Dignam, Fox News.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
In the previous administration, my first term, I rebuilt the military, and that's why we hit Venezuela, tremendous success. As you know, we have a massive flotilla right now going over to Iran. We'll see what happens. I think they want to make a deal. I think it would be foolish if they didn't. We took out their nuclear power last time, and we'll have to see if we take out more this time.
President Trump talking to Larry Kudlow there about the situation in Iran. As you look at a map, the U.S. military assets are now in place, as the president called it, an armada. And now there is word that the president might send a second carrier group into that region as these negotiations with Iran continue. Joining us to talk about the situation in the Middle East, Iran, the midterm elections, and more, one-time presidential candidate, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., and former South Carolina governor, Republican Nikki Haley. She's now the Walter P. Stern Chair at Hudson Institute. Thank you much for being here.
It's great to be with you again, Brent. Thank you.
What is your take on where we stand with Iran? Obviously, these talks are going on in Oman. You've been on the other side of talks with the Iranians many times.
I mean, we can see how this is going to play out. The Iranians are going to meet. They're going to basically say, yes, we will reduce the amount of nuclear production. They'll even say they're not going to do any. They're going to ask for sanction relief, and then they'll probably ask for some money. This is a legacy-defining moment for President Trump. Iran has never been weaker than they are right now. He did a great thing when he did Operation Midnight Hammer and weakened them. He stood with Israel and made sure that we weakened their proxies, and we're trying to get those out of the way. But the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to send all these resources over there and then still have the Iranian regime standing. The key at the end of the day is no nuclear enrichment. no more ballistic missile or drone activity, making sure the Iranian people finally have the freedom that they deserve, and no more money going to their proxies. And Iran's never going to agree to that, and that's why I think the president needs to take his moment and make this a legacy-defining moment.
Yeah, you know there's skepticism, and obviously always the question, if you break it, you own it, back to Colin Powell, and what comes next on the ground? Is there, if you go in with substantial strikes to go take the head of the snake of the regime away, what comes next? Is there enough on the ground to set up the next Iranian government?
Well, my guess is he's moved all those resources there for a reason. I think they're probably trying to make sure all of the American military troops are safe in the multiple bases in the region. But at the end of the day, what you don't want is to give them a hand to step back up again. We need to, it's all about the regime. If he can go and deal with the regime, that's what needs to happen. If he can go and weaken further the nuclear capabilities that they have, that's what needs to happen. But they need to work closely with Israel on making sure that this is finished. What would be horrible is for President Trump to leave office and Iran once again show that they've been enriching nuclear material, they've been suppressing their people, they've been paying off military proxies. All those things come back up and all this will be for nothing.
You know, it's not just Democrats raising skepticism. There are some Republicans inside your party that say this is the wrong move, led by forces inside Congress that come from a point of view. Here's Representative Paulina Luna.
We need people that understands and candidate elected to office that understand peace through strength means pursuing peace first at all costs. I work with way too many neocons, and I refuse to accept that neocons is the face of this party. I think Nikki Haley found that out the hard way.
She threw that in at the end there. But what's your response?
I think that there's an option. You know, you can either have Obama 2.0 where you negotiate another nuclear deal and give them sanction relief and watch this whole thing happen again, or you can actually be strong and nip this in the bud so that we never have to deal with it again. Call it what you want. It's the right thing to do.
I want to get your sense about the election as it stands ahead of these midterms and take you back to the end of your run for president. You came on Special Report, and this is what you said.
The choice is given. It's either Donald Trump or it's Kamala Harris. And for my family, what I'm looking at is the fact that my daughter says she can't afford groceries. And I look at an economy that's been tough for all of us. I look at my son who's worried about paying rent. With Donald Trump, we know what we're going to get. We lived the economy under Donald Trump. And so I don't agree with Trump 100% of the time, but I don't agree with Kamala Harris on anything.
If you look at the polls now, you have the Fox poll, are you better off financially? Better 24%, worse 39%, same 36%. There's some worry in Republican ranks, Karl Rove, others, about where things stand as you look across the country. Where do you see the election ahead of November?
Well, thank God we didn't get Kamala Harris. I'll say that all day long. But what I will say is there has not been enough focus on the affordability issue for Americans. You still have too many kids living at home. You still have people who can't deal with rent. You see people, they have less money in their wallets, and you can't look at the stock market and say the economy is doing well. We are looking at now $39 trillion in debt. Social Security is going to run out in over 6 years, leaving 75 million Americans having to make a choice. Something needs to be done. This is not, fiscal conservatism has not been talked about at all during this administration. And I think now is the time to focus on the value of a dollar, which is weakening, on how we get more money in Americans' pockets, how we increase jobs, which are flattening, and start to make American people feel like they can have hope. And that's the one thing I want Republicans to really fight for going into the midterms, because if Americans don't feel like there's some hope with their wallets and some hope in raising their families, we will lose.
Yeah, there's a lot of hope inside the administration. Treasury Secretary Bessent, Kevin Hassett, and others saying that Q1 and Q2 on growth is going to be great. But that dichotomy you talk about, how people feel at home, is really the issue. Last thing, voter ID. It seems cut and dry to most Republicans Democrats seem to be fighting it a bit. Where are you on that?
You know, I passed voter ID when it was, like, not even a thing in South Carolina, because you should always have to show picture ID to vote. But you should also make sure that we have American citizens are the only ones allowed to register to vote. And for every election, everyone should have to show a picture ID. There is no reason people can't prove who they are. I think that goes to the integrity of the elections, and that goes to the trust of the American people.
And do you think Republicans can pull off this midterm win?
I think they absolutely can pull off a midterm win. We need focus on affordability. We need not a lot of noise, but we need action. Congress needs to get to work, and we need to prove why we deserve to be the leading party coming out of the midterms.
Governor, Ambassador Nikki Haley, thank you so much.
Great to be with you, Brett.
We'll be back with more right after this.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up. Listen carefully. Silver prices have experienced a historic surge, breaking above the $100 per ounce threshold for the first time, and industry experts predict silver could climb even higher. It's not too late for you to benefit from the surge in silver. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 to get our free gold and silver investment guide. Plus, you'll also receive a free copy of economist Ken Rogoff's book, Our Dollar, Your Problem. Debt is rising, currencies are under pressure, and investors are looking for real assets, not paper promises. That's why so many Americans are turning to physical gold and silver with Advantage Gold. Historically, when silver starts moving, it can move fast and aggressively. This isn't about guessing tops or bottoms. It's about understanding risk and positioning before momentum accelerates. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 and find out how you can get a tax and penalty-free rollover for a portion of your retirement funds for 2026. Results vary. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Fox News Books has boasted a host of bestsellers. Now, Fox News Books enters the world of podcasting. This season, the Fox News Books podcast presents The Miracles Among Us. For its first season, Fox News Books will present this special podcast brought to you by the author, Fox News senior medical analyst, Dr. Mark Siegel. The Miracles Among Us on the Fox News Books podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
from the Fox News Podcasts Network.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at FoxNewsPodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio.
Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
Welcome back to the All-Star Panel. We now return to the Brett Baer Show.
We are officially terminating the so-called endangerment finding, a disastrous Obama-era policy. You're going to get a better car. You're going to get a car that starts easier, a car that works better for a lot less money.
The forced transition to electric vehicles is eliminated. We are ending the federal government's push to get manufacturers to install that Obama switch, the almost universally despised start-stop feature.
Well, it was a big change, environmental policy, and it is the end of an Obama-era effort. Former President Obama going on X saying today the Trump administration repealed the endangerment finding, the ruling that served as the basis for limits on tailpipe emissions and power plant rules. Without it, we'll be less safe, less healthy, and less able to fight climate change. Also, the fossil fuel industry can make even more money, the EPA administrator responded.
We looked at the Clean Air Act. We looked at what the highest court in the land had said, and we used a very simple metric. If Congress didn't authorize it, EPA shouldn't be doing it. Congress never voted for these climate mandates inside of Section 202 of the Clean Air Act. If Congress wants EPA to regulate the heck out of greenhouse gases emitted from motor vehicles, then Congress can clearly make that the law, which they haven't done for good reason.
With that, let's bring in our panel, Fox News contributor Mark Thiessen, Amy Walter, publisher and editor-in-chief of the Cook Political Report, and Fox News senior political analyst Juan Williams. Mark, this is a big deal in the climate environment and the political fallout from it. How do you see it?
Yeah, I was watching it today, and the old presidential speechwriter in me was saying, the line is, we're pulling the plug on electric vehicles. But nobody said that, unfortunately, but that's what they're doing. And it's a great decision, not just an economic decision, but a national security decision. Why would we as a country trade a cheap, reliable source of energy that we have, fossil fuels, for a source of energy on which we're dependent on communist China, which provides 90% of the world's rare earths that were needed for electric vehicles? And on top of that, we're in an AI arms race with China right now. And for that, we're going to need data centers that are going to require massive amounts of electricity. Our grid can't handle that as it is, much less if you added every vehicle in America onto the grid as well. So this whole push for electric vehicles, first of all, nobody wants them. They're sitting in lots, unsold. They've been subsidized. The only reason people are buying them is because they're subsidized. And now the subsidies are gone. So I think the electrical vehicle market is about to collapse, and good for that.
The Obama folks, Juan, weighing in, obviously, today. What's your take?
Well, it's a big win for business. I don't think there's any question there. They're not going to have to measure emissions. They're not going to have to report on the rate of emissions. So in the short run, it's the cars that will be impacted and to some extent some of the big factories. We're going to get to the power plants later. It's not impacted it immediately. But I think that Mother Nature is going to have something to say about this, in much the way that Mother Nature did about vaccines and measles that we've seen increase. You stop and you think about people with asthma, COPD, cancer rates. A lot of that was caused by people saying that there is a direct impact from pollution, not just a matter of climate change. But for the short run, I think the president has been very clear. The Defense Department should use coal. He thinks that this will drive down cost of energy, which again is part of the issue of affordability. So he sees it as a double win.
Yeah. Amy, when you talk politics and you look at polls on this issue and we head towards the midterms, you know, how do you see it? Because people are voting already on electric cars. If you talk to dealers around the country, that they're looking at lots filled with electric cars. And how do they see it ahead on this environment issue ahead of the midterms?
Yeah, I think Juan summed it up pretty well, that really when we're talking about electricity in terms of or anything involving the electric grid in terms of politics, it's the issue of affordability. And we had a governor's race in New Jersey where the issue of the cost of electricity was the top concern for voters. It's happening all over the country. And so for politicians running in 2026, being able to make a direct link between the work they're doing and lowering costs for people who are seeing their electric rates go up is going to be critical. Now, look, a lot of this electricity is being sucked up by these AI data centers. And so we're probably going to hear, at least when it comes to campaign time, a lot more about AI data centers than we will about electric cars.
Yeah, but Mark, just to put a bow on this, some of the cost of some of this was to about excessive regulations and all the things that you had to jump through hoop-wise to do some of this business, number one. Number two, AI, a lot of people think it's going to help us, you know, innovate our way out of some of the problems dealing with the environment.
100%. First of all, the regulations were a regulatory wet blanket on the economy that's now being taken off, which is good for Trump and it's good for Americans. And you're right, AI is going to help us solve a lot of these issues going forward. And we have to recognize climate change isn't an existential crisis. It is a problem that can be managed. And the answer is adaptation. We need to, you know, it's cheaper to air conditioning is cheaper than heat. You can build dikes, and AI will help us find lots of ways to adapt to a warming climate so we can live with it, because we can't destroy the free market economy in order to try and stop the planet from warming.
We'll see how this plays, big picture. Let's listen to Tom Holman announcing this drawdown in Minneapolis.
I want to thank Governor Walz for his messages focusing on peace and his support for the Minnesota State Troopers. I also want to thank Mayor Fry for taking a public stance against agitators setting up barricades. I have proposed, and President Trump has concurred, that this surge operation conclude. A significant drawdown has already been underway this week and will continue through the next week. We have a lot of work to do across this country to remove public safety risk who shouldn't even be in this country, and to deliver on President Trump's promise for strong border security and mass deportation. Law enforcement officers drawn down from this surge operation will either return to the duty stations or be signed elsewhere to achieve just that.
I mean, it's the end of these anti-ICE protests. Amy, just the images alone of these, you know, back and forth, that's a political win eventually for the Trump administration, but it is a long time coming.
Well, you know, what I thought was interesting about Holman's press conference, I thought he did a pretty good job of balancing this. He had sort of two jobs here. One was to lower the temperature in Minnesota, and he did so by saying, look, I've been working with local officials here. We've been doing a lot of great work, giving some praise to them, and at the same time saying this does not mean at all that we're rolling back or doing anything less on President Trump's top priority, which he said, this does not mean, how did he say this, that we will be backing down on mass deportation. So he said, we're still going to be doing that, even as we're pulling back from Minnesota. So he was able to sort of thread both of those things into his press conference.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next. I want to turn quickly to Cuba. This is President Trump on Cuba on NBC.
They're in big trouble. We are.
Do you think that government is still there, though? Do you think that government lasts?
I don't want to say that, but we are talking to Cuba.
You're talking to Cuba.
You know what? Look, we have
tens of thousands of people that were forced out there here. They voted for me, 94%. Cuban population, previous Cuban population, now they're Cuban Americans. Maybe they go back, maybe they want to go back. They're going to have that choice. But for years they've been talking about this happening. Now it's happening.
It's happening, according to the president, Juan. They're putting the squeeze on Cuba, and they're feeling it.
I don't think there's any question. I mean, I was listening just to what the president was saying there, and the thought occurred to me that the number one Cuban family immigrant who is looking for regime change there is Secretary of State Marco Rubio. And I think he's been pushing that, and I think even after Maduro was ousted in Venezuela, he made the point that this is going to have impact on Cuba. And right now we see Cuba having trouble with oil supplies. Mexico sent some humanitarian aid there. That could be a complication for U.S. policy. But there's no question that the Cuban regime is in serious trouble.
In 10 seconds, Mark. Russia's and China seem like they're supporting.
Yeah, I think that before the Trump presidency is over, Donald Trump will visit a free Caracas, a free Tehran, and a free Havana.
Well, we're going to go back to the tape. Appreciate it.
Paid for by government. The 1986 to 2021 United States Silver Eagle, the first ever U.S. silver dollar minted in 99.9% pure silver and is the best-selling coin in the world. These original and historic silver dollars have ceased production forever. They will never be minted again. For a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government-struck silver dollars are being released to the public. You can own a full pound of original U.S. silver dollar coins featuring Lady Liberty and the Heraldic Eagle. Never to be struck again, guaranteed. Call now to secure original United States Silver Eagles by the pound. The first U.S. silver dollars ever to be struck in 99.9% pure silver. Plus, receive a free bonus, an American Collector's Pack, valued at over $40, and free shipping with every order. Call 1-800-560-6468 now to secure your full pound bag of United States Silver Eagle coins before they are gone. That's 1-800-560-6468.
Experience a wintry mix with the Shasta College Symphony Orchestra Saturday, February 28th at 7:30 p.m. at the Shasta College Theater. Enjoy music from Verdi and Beethoven and more, plus a melody from My Fair Lady featuring the outstanding winners of the Emerging Artist Solo and Area Competition. This special concert is sponsored in part by Vituity Anesthesia Reading. Tickets and information can be found online at shastacollege.edu/events.
At Plumas Bank, we understand business because we've grown alongside you in the communities we call home. We're proud to grow in Redding and excited to welcome Anderson and Red Bluff to the Plumas Bank family. With our new locations, your business gains expanded lending powers, more convenient locations, and more than 40 years of trusted community banking experience. Plumas Bank, building stronger communities. Learn more at plumasbank.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.